ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 8 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड टर्निंग ऑफ द मिल्क ओशन। टेक्स्ट नंबर Fifteen. Okay. So should we chant in response? Because the board is not there. We'll chant. Samudra pita kausheya. Vasasi samupaharat. Varunaha srajam vaijayantim. मधुना मत्त षट्पदाम् समुद्र द ओशन विच इज द सोर्स ऑफ ऑल वैल्युएबल ज्यूवेल्स सप्लाइड द अपर एंड लोअर पोर्शंस ऑफ अ येलो सिल्क गारमेंट द प्रीडोमिनेटिंग डीटी ऑफ द वाटर वरुणा प्रेजेंटेड फ्लावर गार्लैंड्स सराउंडेड बाय सिक्स लेगेड बंबलबीज ड्रंकन विद हनी। परपोर्ट When bathing the deity in the Abhishek ceremony with various liquids such as milk, honey, yogurt, ghee, cow dung and cow urine, it is customary to supply yellow garments. In this way, the Abhishek ceremony for the goddess of fortune was performed according to the regular Vedic principles. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namah श्री चैतन्या मनोभिष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदांतिकम्। हरे कृष्ण। टुडे इज द मोस्ट ऑस्पिशियस ओकेजन ऑफ द डिसअपीयरेंस डे ऑफ श्री जगदीश पंडित एंड श्री जीव गोस्वामी। विल ब्रीफली glorify their pastimes and then if time permits we will also discuss from today's purport. Jagadish Pandit and Hiranya Mahashay, these were two intimate associates of Lord Chaitanya in his Navadvip pastimes. Jagadish Pandit is the 31st branch of the Chaitanya tree and Hiranya Mahashay is the 32nd. Both of them were ordered by Lord Chaitanya to go to Nilachal and spread the holy name. And they were staying in the shelter of Lord Jagannath at Puri. And they performed pastimes there. Jagadish Pandit and Hiranya Mahashay, according to Gaur Gunadesh Deepika, they are the wives of the Yagic Brahmins. You know, when Krishna and Balaram sent the boys to get food, the Yagic Brahmins refused and then their wives very gladly and very happily bought the offerings. So these two were the wives of the Brahmanas in the Krishna Leela. And Srila Jiva Goswami, about whom we have heard a lot from the different devotees in the past, and also Jiva Goswami's pastimes have been described in the scriptures in great detail. He is one of the intimate associates of Lord Chaitanya. Actually, he was the youngest of the six Goswamis. He never spent so much time with Lord Chaitanya personally. But he was the intimate associate of Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami. He was the son of Sri Vallabh or Anupam. And Rupa and Sanatan were his uncles. There is this wonderful pastime about how there were these three brothers, Amar, Santosh and Sri Vallabh, whom we now know as Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami and Anupam. So Amar and Santosh were excellent in the study of scriptures and knowledge of different languages and different sciences of diplomacy, administration. So King Nawab Hussain Shah got both of them as his ministers. And he awarded them the title Dabir Khas and Sakar Malik. And they were very influential But their hearts, they had offered to Lord Chaitanya. So they wanted to serve under Lord Chaitanya. And they were writing letters repeatedly. These three brothers, Shri Vallabh, Amar and Santosh. Repeatedly they were writing that please accept us, give us shelter. And Lord Chaitanya, he didn't reply for a long time. And then he wrote one mysterious letter saying that just like a young lady, if she is attached to a man other than her husband, she will serve her husband very faithfully so that he doesn't suspect anything and continue to have a desire to be in the association of her paramour. So these three brothers got the hint what Mahaprabhu is saying, that we should externally serve the government but internally have a desire to surrender to the Lord. So they continued serving and they were staying at Ramkeli. And then an interesting pastime took place. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going towards Vrindavan with his thousands of associates. It was an ecstatic yatra, Harinam Sankirtan. And everybody was joining in that kirtan, taking the dust of Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet, putting the dust on their heads. And inconceivable to everyone, Lord Chaitanya took a detour. And instead of going to Vrindavan, he went to Ramkeli. And there Nawab Hussain Shah, he was angry. Who is this person who is chanting, dancing the Hindu names of God? So Roop and Sanatan, whom we now know as, at that time they were Dabir Khas and Sakar Malik. They were trusted ministers. So they didn't want Lord Chaitanya to be attracting the envy of Nawab Hussain Shah. So they said, no, he's an ordinary Hindu saint. But later that evening in the night, both Amar, Santosh and in fact all the three of them, Shri Vallabh, they went in the night to meet Lord Chaitanya. First they took shelter of Haridas Thakur and Nityanand Prabhu, who took them to meet Lord Chaitanya. And that is a beautiful section in the Chaitanya Charitamrita where both these brothers, along with Shri Vallabh, they offer wonderful prayers to Lord Chaitanya, expressing their disqualification and offering their hearts in utter humility. And Lord Chaitanya's heart melts seeing their intense devotion and surrender. And then all the devotees understand, why did Lord Chaitanya take a detour? Because he wanted to reveal the glories of these three brothers. So then they offer this wonderful prayer saying that we are worse than Jagai and Madai. We are serving mlechas and yavanas. We are like small dwarf which is trying to catch the moon. But we have no hope other than your mercy. Although we are unqualified, please give us your mercy. And Lord Chaitanya says, my heart is breaking to see your humility. And then he says, you will no longer be Dabir Khas, Sakar Malik. Then he awards them these three names. He gives them the name Sanatan Goswami, Roop Goswami and Anupam to Shri Vallabh. So in this historic exchange, Anupam's young son, little boy, Jiva, he was watching Mahaprabhu awarding this mercy to his uncles and his father. And this had such a powerful impact in his tender and soft heart that he decided there itself that I will dedicate my life to the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He offered his heart and was completely captivated by this most exquisite, beautiful form, golden form of Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu and the exchanges between his uncles, his father and Lord Chaitanya, and he surrendered his life. And that was the beginning of Jiva Goswami's legendary, pastimes and activities. And then we know the pastime, how Sanatan Goswami and Roop Goswami finally escape. Sanatan Goswami especially escapes in a very dramatic way with a lot of adventures and excitement. This is there in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Devotees can read. And Roop Goswami leaves also. And finally, sometime later, Anupam accompanies Roop Goswami to meet Lord Chaitanya at Jagannath Puri. So when they were traveling to Jagannath Puri, Anupam, he leaves his body. He goes back to the spiritual world on the bank of Ganga. So Anupam leaves the world and then Roop and Sanatan continue to follow Lord Chaitanya's order. Lord Chaitanya had given them the instruction to excavate holy places of pilgrimage, to build Krishna's temples. Lord Chaitanya had told them to establish proper Vaishnava etiquette and behavior and establish the Siddhanta of Bhakti by studying all the scriptures very scrutinizingly. So Roop and Sanatan were performing this task given by the Lord in Vrindavan. And little Jiva, who was now staying at home, he was constantly burning with his desire to go to Vrindavan and be with his uncles and assist them in their service to Lord Chaitanya. And even as a young boy, you would be only immersed in ecstatic, you know, you would be in great ecstasy remembering the Lord. And especially that association of Lord Chaitanya he got briefly. And his aspiration to serve his uncles and assist them. Day and night, he would be crying in separation from Lord Chaitanya. And when other children would be playing, busy playing games, Jiva Goswami would be worshipping. He got very attached to Krishna and Balaram. There is a reason for this. Because as a young boy, he saw Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda at Ramkeli, along with his father and uncles. So that vision of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda planted in his heart a spontaneous attraction to Krishna and Balaram. Because Gaur Nithai are non-different from Krishna and Balaram. So day and night, he would be serving this deity of Krishna Balaram. He would be making deities. He would be offering them garlands, flowers, ornaments, jewelry, boga. He would be singing and dancing in front of this deity of Krishna Balaram. That was his absorption. Just completely attached to Krishna and Balaram. And constantly yearning to go and be with Lord Chaitanya. And especially with his uncles and assist them in their service to Lord Chaitanya. So as he was continuing this childhood absorption in the service of Krishna and Balaram, one day he went to take rest in the night crying. He was intensely crying in separation from Lord Chaitanya. And as he fell asleep, in his dream, he saw the most ecstatic sankirtan of the Panchatattva. It was not actually a dream, it was a vision. And he saw this ecstatic kirtan where Haridas Thakur, Nityananda Prabhu, Lord Chaitanya, Advaita Acharya, all the associates are there. And there was tumultuous resounding of the holy names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So the chanting of the holy name was going on. So this vision was so ecstatic when Jiva got up in great ecstasy. And then he began to cry more because he said, oh, I just got this vision. But I am not able to be with the Lord. I am not able to take part in these pastimes of the Lord. And he cried more. And crying like this, again fell asleep. He fell unconscious. And now he got the vision of Krishna and Balaram, his worshipable deities. Krishna dressed in his beautiful yellow garments with his peacock feather. And Balaramji, the complexion of a spring cloud, dressed in bluish garments. So he got this beautiful vision where Krishna and Balaram are casting their loving glance upon him. And then right in front of him, Lord Krishna changed to Lord Chaitanya and Balaram changed to Lord Nityananda. And Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda put their lotus feet on Jiva Goswami's head and gave him all blessings and empowerment. And then Lord Chaitanya picked up Jiva and told him, I put you under the care of Lord Nityananda. You are his property. And Lord Nityananda tells Jiva that Lord Chaitanya is your life and soul. So like this, Gaur Nithai award him their choicest mercy. And after this vision, Jiva Goswami now is filled. There is an upsurge of strong emotions in his heart to leave home and go and join his uncles at Vrindavan. So he runs away from home. But first he goes to Navadvip to meet, to see Lord Chaitanya's pastime places. There he meets Lord Nityananda and Shivas Thakur. He also visits along with them to Sachi Mata's house and takes blessings of Sachi Mata and Vishnupriya, the mother and widow of Lord Chaitanya. And he also goes on a Navadvip Parikrama with Nityananda. Nityananda Prabhu takes him. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur has elaborately described this in Navadvip Dham Mahatmya. And then Nityananda Prabhu tells him, okay, now you go to Vrindavan, but first go to Kashi and learn the scriptures from Madhusudan Vachaspati, who is a disciple of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So there, Jiva Goswami becomes a prolific scholar and he wins the hearts of everyone. And then he comes to Vrindavan, and in Vrindavan, all the Goswamis are eagerly awaiting for Jiva Goswami. All the other Goswamis, Sanatan Goswami, Rup Goswami, Raghunath Bhatt, Raghunath Das Goswami, Gopal Bhatt Goswami, Loknath Goswami, Bhugarabha Goswami, Kasheshwar Pandit, all the Babajis and Goswamis of Vrindavan, they greet Jiva Goswami. And Jiva Goswami surrenders to Sanatan Goswami because he is the senior most Vaishnav. And Sanatan Goswami, in his true humility, he offers Jiva under the care of Rupa Goswami and says, you take shelter of Rupa Goswami. And that's how Jiva Goswami becomes the disciple of his uncle Rupa Goswami. And he serves him menially. He washes clothes, prepares DT paraphernalia, you know, does menial task of preparing the pencils, because that time they didn't have computers and typesetters. They would have those, you know, ink, and they would be making pens and writing on those leaves. Jiva Goswami would do this humble menial service. And he was one of the greatest scholars. And there is this famous pastime of how Rup Narayan, one of very proud scholar, comes to Vrindavan, and he comes with a certificate. He wants to win contests and be declared as the greatest scholar. And he goes to Rup Goswami and Sanatan Goswami and tells them that I want to debate with you. And they say, we don't have time. You know, we are foolish. We don't know much. Actually, they didn't want to waste time debating. They were happy and absorbed in bhajan. So they say, no, you are better than us. So then he says, okay, then you sign the Vijay Patra. So they sign that Rup Narayan has defeated us. But Jiva Goswami gets angry. He says, you are blaspheming my uncles, because Rup Narayan goes around telling everybody that Rup Goswami and Sanatan Goswami have been defeated by me. So Jiva Goswami, only with the desire to uphold the dignity of his uncles, and as a true Vaishnava servant, he challenges Rup Narayan and defeats him in a debate. And then when he reports this to Rupa Goswami, Rupa Goswami gets very angry. He says, Vrindavan is not a place for person with pride, and you are debating with him is a sign of pride. Get out of Vrindavan. He chastises him. And Jiva Goswami could have at that point of time logically presented to Rupa Goswami that he is right in debating. Actually, he was right. But at the same time, he is establishing how a disciple should serve his spiritual master. Without arguing, debating, justifying, he accepts the chastisement. Not only, he doesn't accept it as a, you know, okay, I have to tolerate it because he's my guru. No, not like that. He actually is convinced that I have pride, and I debated because I have pride. So with that consciousness, he leaves Vrindavan and stays at Mathura in one crocodile hole and completely lamenting day and night and just chanting Krishna's holy names. And Sanatan Goswami, when he is traveling all around, he sees Jiva Goswami's condition. He picks him up and then he brings him to Rupa Goswami and he tells Rupa Goswami, my dear Rupa Goswami, you have forgotten Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's principles. Do you remember what are the three principles? Then Rupa Goswami says, yes, three principles are Vaishnav Seva, Naam Ruchi and Jeev Daya, kindness to Jiva. And then Rupa Goswami says, then he remembers, yes, I have chastised Jiva and I have sent him out of Vrindavan. Then Rupa Goswami personally brings him and takes care of him. There is another instance when Vallabh Bhatt also presents his feedback on Rupa Goswami's work and corrects it. And Jiva Goswami very respectfully discusses with Vallabh Bhatt, and Vallabh Bhatt comes back to Rupa Goswami and says, there is no fault in your book. I am sorry for having tried to correct it. Because when your disciple Jiva Goswami is so learned and so wonderful and so great, you must be really great. So I'm sorry. But then again, Rupa Goswami chastises Jiva Goswami for trying to correct a senior Vaishnav and banishes him. This time Jiva Goswami is at Nandagaon near Pavan Sarovar. And then again, Rupa Goswami brings him back and serves him. So basically, through these two instructive pastimes, Rupa Goswami is teaching us one lesson, that in Vrindavan, there is no place, or in Vaishnav society, there is no place for pride. One has to be humble and not wanting to take position and be a debater. We are supposed to love Krishna and serve. The second and more important lesson that Rupa Goswami is teaching us is the glory of his own disciple, Jiva Goswami. How Jiva Goswami was so humble. He didn't justify, he didn't defend. And for this most glorious quality of Jiva Goswami is highlighted through this pastime. And out of great affection and love, Rupa Goswami gives. Rupa Goswami is worshipping. He had personally carved Radha Damodar deity and he was serving. So this deity he gives as a gift of love to Jiva Goswami. And Jiva Goswami serves these deities. And he goes on to become the leader of all the Vaishnavas after Rupa and Sanatan leave this world. And he stays at Radha Damodar temple where he makes Samadhi of Samadhi Mandir of Rupa Goswami. And his literary contribution is stupendous. He has written more than 4 lakh original Sanskrit verses and more than 25 books. Very extraordinary contribution. Srila Prabhupada says that all the Gaudiya Vaishnavas are unanimous that Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy is the highest, and amongst Gaudiya Vaishnavas, Jiva Goswami is the greatest philosopher. Even many Karmis in the linguistic scholarly world, Jiva Goswami is recognized as one of the greatest scholars ever. And he was also a teacher to many great Vaishnavas, and many senior Vaishnavas would send their disciples to be trained under Jiva Goswami. Like Hriday Chaitanya sent Krishnadas, who later on went on to become Shamanand Pandit. Loknath Goswami sent his only disciple Narottam Das Thakur. And Gopal Bhatta Goswami sent Srinivas Acharya to study under Jiva Goswami. And then Janva Devi, the eternal consort of Lord Nityananda, she writes to Jiva Goswami that now since Mahaprabhu and my master Nityananda Prabhu has left this world, all the Vaishnavas are in great separation. And all the literatures which these Goswamis have written are in Vrindavan. So we would like a copy of them. So can you send this literature and we can copy them? And then Jiva Goswami initiates this wonderful yatra, huge ox carts, and where they transport all these books of Kaviraj Goswami, the other Goswamis, to Bengal. So this is the first book distribution program. Zolina Radhana Swami Maharaj has given elaborate class on this wonderful program, how Jiva Goswami sends his disciples with his books to Bengal, and thus Jiva Goswami has this unique position of having generally academic pursuit is associated with a lot of pride, and intellectual wrangling is associated with a lot of pride. But Jiva Goswami was scholar par excellence and an extraordinarily and most humble person, Vaishnava. And all these Vaishnavas would be considering Jiva Goswami as the greatest Vaishnava. He also influenced Akbar. Emperor Akbar became very kind and very appreciative of the Vaishnava culture. And Jiva Goswami also is in Krishna Leela, he is known as Vilas Manjari Gopi, one of Krishna's eternal maid servants. And Srila Prabhupada took shelter of Jiva Goswami and Rupa Goswami at Radha Damodar temple, stayed there and wrote Srimad Bhagavatam for many years. And then he left the shelter of Radha Damodar to go and give this message of Krishna consciousness all over the world. So today on this auspicious occasion of his disappearance day, we can pray that we can also develop this mood of genuine humility, not defending and justifying our false ego, and not fighting to be right. Vaishnavism is beyond right, and we can aspire for that. And we can also beg for their mercy, for the mercy of all the Goswamis, for being able to chant. Our attempts to chant Hare Krishna is actually, Manidhi Maharaj says that our chanting Hare Krishna without the mercy of the six Goswamis is like crying wildly in the desert. Nobody can hear us. And there is no potency in that chanting. So today is a day when we can reaffirm our vows and beg for the mercy of the six Goswamis. Shri Rup Shri Sanatan Bhatta Raghunath, Shri Jiva Gopal Bhatta Dasa Raghunath, Echai Gosai Kori Charana Vandan, Jaha Hoite Bignu Nash Abhishta Puran. So if you take shelter of the six Goswamis, all the obstacles on the path of devotional service will be removed. So we can beg for their mercy. Shri Rup Shri Sanatan Bhatta Raghunath, Shri Jiva Gopal Bhatta Dasa Raghunath, Shri Goswami Prabhu Gan Ki Jai, Shri Jiva Goswami Prabhupada Ki Jai, Shri Jagadish Pandit Ki Jai. We can also briefly discuss about this verse and the purport that we are discussing now. In this chapter or this episode of Churning of the Milk Ocean, two very interesting developments have taken place. One is, Goddess of Fortune has now appeared, and everybody is hoping that she'll put that garland on me and accept me. But she finds everybody unqualified. So that you'll find series of verses where she finds somebody has knowledge, but that person is cannot conquer his lusty desires. Somebody is beautiful, but it has not performed austerity. Somebody has power, but he cannot check the power of time. So like that, everybody in that assembly of demigods and demons, nobody actually is able to become worthy of receiving Lakshmiji's garland. So finally, Goddess of Fortune accepts Lord Vishnu as her husband and she puts the garland on him. Very interesting section. And later on, we'll see the Lord himself appearing as Mohini Murti to bewilder the demons because they snatch the nectar which Dhanvantri comes with. And they want to enjoy that nectar. So then Lord, as Mohini Murti, bewilders them and takes that nectar. So the Lord cheats them. So there are two very instructive lessons from this chapter and from this pastime. The first is, Lakshmiji is meant for Lord Narayan's pleasure. So Lakshmi, Srimati Radharani, they are the eternal consorts of the Lord. They are the Lord's internal potency. And the happiness of the living entity lies to the extent the living entity becomes a cooperative enjoyer. In the sense, he cooperates in the enjoyment of the Lord. He offers service to the Lord. And that is the actual position of the living entity. And the second lesson we learn is, if like the demons, we try to enjoy separately from the Lord, then the Lord, through his most enchanting material energy, here the Mohini Murti form, bewilders the living entity completely. And there is nothing we can do about it. Completely smashes us. So therefore, these are the two very instructive lessons that come out of this chapter. And so it has to be re-emphasized again and again that our constitutional position is we are servant of the Lord. Jivera Swarupa Hoye Krishnera Nityadas. Just like the salt's constitutional position is to be salty, sugar's position is to be sweet, water, liquid. Similarly, our position is we are simply servants. That means we are supposed to give enjoyment to the Lord. When we try to enjoy, we become frustrated and miserable. Just like here, demigods and demons, because Lakshmiji chooses Vishnu, they are frustrated. The whole the verse describing their frustration and anger and anguish. And later on, as Mohini Murti, the Lord bewilders the demons and takes away the nectar. So this is the difference between a devotee and a demon. A devotee wants to enjoy with Krishna, by serving Krishna. That is his enjoyment. A demon wants to enjoy like Krishna. This is the key word. A devotee enjoys with Krishna. A demon tries to enjoy like Krishna. He wants to imitate Krishna's position. And therefore, he is always frustrated. So this is the theme of this section, that we have to give enjoyment to Krishna, understanding that our position is to be simply the servant. And in the 11th canto, in one purport, Gopi Paranadana Prabhu and Ridhanand Maharaj very nicely explain this point. Lord Krishna tells Uddhava that, my dear Uddhava, human life is very rare. And in human life, becoming a devotee is even more rare. So every person should understand that devotional service is very rare and should be engaged only in satisfying the Lord. But instead of serving the Lord, if somebody engages in satisfying his tongue, belly and genitals and tries to be an enjoyer, he will be miserable. So in that purport, Gopi Paranadana Prabhu and Dhanan Maharaj write that how a devotee has to be very careful not to want to be an enjoyer. Because Maya, the Lord's illusory energy, offers a bait. She tempts us. She wants us to become a thief. She wants us to steal the Lord's property, that which is meant for Lord's enjoyment. Maya Devi tries to pull us and tries to make us enjoy that. And once we do that, we are implicated in a series of sufferings and we go further and further away from Krishna. So a devotee is intelligent and he refuses to get trapped by this bait. So Maya tempts him, become a thief, enjoy the Lord's property. Once you steal. But a devotee carefully avoids. Very nicely they write. Actually, if you analyze, I was hearing one lecture of Isolde Radhana Swami Maharaj. He was mentioning very nicely that actually Maya herself is a thief. It's not that she is only tempting a devotee to enjoy. So he was giving another angle that how Maya Devi, she is a thief. She tries to steal all the credits we have accumulated in our devotional service. So we are trying to serve Krishna. We have spent 10 years, 15 years. And then Maya Devi will offer us a chance. Come on, enjoy. So if we give in little also to that tendency, then Maya steals away all the credits that you have accumulated. So he was giving an example, just like if somebody has accumulated a lot of wealth and he's locked his room and a thief comes and steals away everything and goes, then you wake up and find that everything is gone. So he said, similarly, we do bhakti for many years and then this thief of this desire to enjoy comes in and we start enjoying slowly, 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 and then suddenly we realize everything is gone. I had so much taste one time for chanting, for hearing, and now suddenly I'm feeling, what has happened to me? But what has actually happened is Maya has stolen. So he said, generally we try to close our rooms and windows and doors so that the thief doesn't enter. But Maya, the illusory energy is so powerful that this thief enters even if there is a small creak in the house. That means even a small desire to enjoy means we are inviting Maya to steal away all our assets. So therefore we have to be careful and we have to not give in to this tendency of wanting to be the enjoyer. Like there is a saying, a preacher enters like a needle and comes out like a plow. We give the example of Srila Prabhupada, who went like a small needle to America and nobody took him seriously. And then he did a spectacular thing. So many people became devotees. And Prabhupada said also later on that if the Americans knew what I am going to do, they wouldn't have allowed me to come to America. So he went like a needle and came out like a plow. And sometimes people are inviting Krishna consciousness. They are ready. Then a preacher enters like a plow and comes out like a bomb. He destroys everything. All material life is destroyed. That is also possible. So this philosophy even Maya Devi knows. She also enters like a needle with a small desire to enjoy. She plants that desire and she attracts us and lures us. And then everything is taken away. Just like if you have a lot of money, a lot of people are looking at that money. You know, they want to steal through taxes, through different schemes and through different threats. Like the man who won that Kaun Banega Crorepati, that serial, he won crore rupees. Next day he got a phone call. Please send one suitcase of 10 lakh rupees to this bridge. We are ready. We want this money. So, very dangerous. You earn a lot of money, you get a lot of assets, there's somebody waiting to steal it. Similarly, as we are doing bhakti and trying to be sincere, there is always this temptation of Maya, of wanting to be an enjoyer, and a situation arises, a provocative situation arises where we may give in and eventually slowly, slowly we may justify it and then we may realize that we are losing taste. So basically our consciousness is kind of, you know, hijacked completely. So we are practicing devotees, but because of consistently neglecting our sadhana or being lax, we slip away. Like there was this plane which was hijacked some years ago. It was flying from Kathmandu to New Delhi. And the hijackers, they entered and they took that flight to Kandahar. And there was a big drama. I don't know if you remember. And then the terrorists had to be released, some negotiation. So this lecture, Radhana Swami Maharaj was giving in IIT and he was explaining how Maya Devi also hijacks our consciousness. Like these people were going from Kathmandu to Delhi. We are trying to go from material world to Krishna. But Maya with her agents enters the plane because the custom people, the immigration there, they were a little lax. So you are saying that similarly we are chanting and we are thinking, let this round go by inattentively, no problem. I have chanted so many nice rounds. So we are inattentive and we allow that round to slip away. And in that slipping, what is actually happening is we are allowing these desires to enter our consciousness and completely hijack our consciousness. And then we realize after some time, oh, what has happened to me? You know, I was such a nice devotee. I had so much taste. So this desire is very deadly. And this is the reason why everybody is in this material world. So we have to conscientiously endeavor not to fall victim to this desire to be an enjoyer. Because our position is to be the servant of Krishna. And Srimad Bhagavatam contains many examples to explain this theme about how a devotee means he wants to, like from this episode we can learn, a devotee means he just wants to give pleasure to Krishna. He wants to be cooperating in the enjoyment of Krishna. This is the goal of the Brajavasis. In Vrindavan, everybody is only thinking how to get Radha and Krishna together, how to give them pleasure. Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. Like in the episode of Rukmini Haran, when Krishna comes to Kundina to kidnap Rukmini, all the residents of Kundina come to know that Krishna has come from Dwarka and today she is going to get married to Shishupal. So they all come to Krishna and make an appeal to him. Krishna, please, please kidnap Rukmini. Rukmini is meant for you. She should not be touched by this jackal, Shishupal. So they make an appeal, and Prabhupada writes there that this is a devotee. He always wants Krishna to be the enjoyer and he wants to get Radha and Krishna together for their enjoyment. This is the mood of the monkeys of Rama and Ramlila. Their goal was to find Sita and get Rama and Sita together. Like on the highest example we have of the Goswami is Raghunath Das Goswami. When he read Lalita Madhav, where Rupa Goswami writes about the separation of Radha and Krishna, he goes into ecstasy and he starts crying. He is unbearably crying and in great anxiety and separation from Radha and Krishna, and he's crying. He holds that book in his heart and none of his associates are able to pacify him. Finally, seeing his condition, Rupa Goswami writes another book, Daan Keli Komudi, where Radha and Krishna meet. And then he gives this book to Raghunath Das Goswami and says, there is some correction I have to make in Lalita Madhav. You give me that book and take this book. And then Raghunath Das Goswami reads that, oh, there is a loving union of Radha and Krishna. Then he is pacified. So this is the desire of a devotee. Aspiring to serve and give pleasure to Radha and Krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Radha Krishna Pranamura Jugala Kishor. Jivane Marane Gati Har Nai Mor. I have no other desire except to serve Radha and Krishna. And talking about Rukmini, I remembered, see, the materialistic person is typically represented by Shishupal. Shishupal wanted to enjoy Rukmini. And who are his friends? Jarasandha, Paundrak, Dantavakra, all of them, they were all encouraging Shishupal. Yes, yes, Rukmini is meant for you. But they were all secretly thinking that Rukmini will choose them. So they were encouraging him. And when she was coming on that procession to go to the temple, and that is the time when Krishna came to kidnap her, she was looking down, very gracefully adjusting the ring on her left hand, and she was walking, hoping Krishna will come. And Shishupal and all these kings were looking at Rukmini with so much lust that they fell down unconscious. And then Krishna comes, very gracefully picks up Rukmini and takes her on his chariot and drives off. So Krishna, just like we know now in this pastime, Mohini Murthy comes and bewilders the demons. Krishna bewildered all these envious kings, not in a very, you know, not in a fearful way or something. Krishna came and did it in style, in royal style. He didn't come and tell Rukmini, come on, let us run away, you know, just enter the chariot. And it's not that like he stole Rukmini. He came very royally in front of everybody, picked up Rukmini, and they're all watching and they were, what is happening? And they were completely aghast and they were wanting to fight. But Krishna very coolly took her away. Krishna would steal, but he would steal from his loving devotees. You know, in Vrindavan he would steal butter. But when it comes to demons, he outwits them and he humbles them and smashes them in such a way that it becomes more painful. You know, like somebody stealing is not such a big, he's not considered as a great person, somebody who steals. But somebody who steals in open and nobody can do anything, he really smashes our ego. Like in college, I remember in college canteen, we used to have some people would steal some, you know, vada pav or something, and they would be caught and they would be beaten. But there would be some people, they would be like royal gang leaders, you know, they would come with their girlfriend in their arms and they would just pick up whatever they wanted and nobody could dare say anything. And they were like real dadas. So Krishna is like that, you know. Krishna is not going to be intimidated by these demons like Shishupal, Jarasandha. He comes because Rukmini is his internal potency. They are eternal consorts, they are eternal enjoyers. So Krishna royally enjoys, and these demons who wanted to enjoy Rukmini, they are completely smashed to dust. So this is a very instructive pastime. Just like in this Mohini Murthy pastime, we see how Krishna completely bewilders the demons. And this is very much connected to our sadhana bhakti also. So we are also chanting the holy name, but the acharyas explain that if we also do not strongly and consciously cultivate a desire to be the servant of the holy name, then we will not be able to actually chant the holy name. Because Shishupal, now do you think Shishupal actually was seeing Rukmini with so much lust in his heart? He was not actually seeing Rukmini. He was seeing the material energy. Ravana, he could not kidnap Sita. Ravana actually took away Maya Sita. So when there is an enjoying tendency, we do not see the Lord's internal potency. We are bewildered by the Lord's Bahiranga Shakti, the external potency. So like Shishupal or Ravana, if somebody is having an intense enjoying tendency and not aspiring to give up this tendency, then even if he is apparently chanting, he is actually not seeing Krishna. He is not actually experiencing the presence of Radharani and Krishna. Hare Krishna is not different from Radha and Krishna. But Krishna and Radharani are covered for a person who is cultivating a desire to be the enjoyer. And he may be chanting, moving the beats, but he doesn't experience the presence of the Lord. Because his consciousness is filled with a desire to be the enjoyer. Bahu koti kare yadi shravana kirtan, tabu tona paya Krishna pade prema dhan. We may chant for many, many crores of lifetimes, still we will not get love of Krishna. If you do not cultivate this desire to be the servant and not the enjoyer. Of course, as devotees, we are very well aware of this philosophy that we shouldn't be the enjoyer, and we are repeatedly instructed that we have to be the servant. And we hear the pastimes of Ravan Shishupal, so we definitely abandon this desire to be the enjoyer. However, for a devotee, Maya enters subtly by giving us the aspiration and desire for name, fame, and cultivating strong pride, false pride. And that eventually, that subtle lust eventually then leads to gross lust. One example that comes to my mind is of Somadev, the 9th canto of Bhagavatam. Now Somadev, what was his position? He was grandson of Brahma, basically great grandson of Vishnu. If somebody is a grandson of Prabhupada or Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we, you know, generally say, oh, how great, how special he must be. So you can imagine he was a grandson of Brahma. Brahma's son Atri Rishi, Atri Rishi's son Somadev. Very special person. Now there are many people who are sons or grandsons of great devotees, but they may not be devotees. Like Narakasura, son of Krishna, but he's not a devotee. But here, Somadev was not only the grandson of Brahma, he was also a great devotee. And there may be many devotees, children of devotees, but they may not be having some big post. Somadev was also a demigod. He was in charge of all the stars, and the drugs department was under him. So he was a devotee, a demigod, grandson of Brahma, and he was also very successful in his execution of his duties. And he became so proud. He thought, I am very special, I am good. And he performed sacrifices, and he was beautiful. And at one point of time, he was convinced that everything is meant for my enjoyment. And he went to that extent that he kidnapped the wife of his own guru. Brihaspati was his guru, and his wife Tara. He kidnapped her. And then Brihaspati told him, my dear deviant disciple, give me back my wife. And he refused. And then the demigods, they all come together and tell Soma. And he refuses. And then the demons, they encourage Soma, because demons anyway have issues with the demigods. Shukracharya had issues with Brihaspati. So Shukracharya tells all the demons, let us support Somadev. And then Somadev takes shelter of the demons. He's a demigod, but he takes shelter of demons. Not a devotee, but a devotee may associate with materialistic persons and think they are my friends because they help me in my sense gratification. So then Soma goes to the camp of the demons, help Somadev. And then on the other hand, Shivji, he has soft corner for Brihaspati, because Brihaspati is the son of Angira Rishi, and Angira Rishi had trained Lord Shiva in many aspects. So Shiva says, Brihaspati, I want to protect Brihaspati. So he fights for Brihaspati. So when Shiva supports Brihaspati, all the ghosts and hobgoblins were always surrounding Lord Shiva. They would have, in normal circumstances, served a demoniac cause, but now they support the demigods. So, very topsy-turvy situation where the demons have demigod on their side and the demigods have all the ghosts on their side and there's a huge war going on. Just because of, you know, this desire to be the enjoyer and this pride. Because it's a big burden we are carrying. Bhaktivedanta Thakur says, once we agree and decide to be the servant, then we are relieved of this burning burden in the heart of wanting to be an enjoyer. For this wanting to be an enjoyer tendency is a burden. And just like if you are carrying a heavy burden and you want to relieve yourself, you just, you know, you just throw it off. So a person with strong burden, eventually he has to release it by taking shelter of gross lust. Generally that's what happens. So therefore, this conception is the enemy, that I am the enjoyer and everything is meant for my enjoyment. Many times in seminars we say, you know, we should chant nicely, mind, control the mind while chanting. Actually, more than the mind, this false ego, this conception is the biggest enemy. Mind's function is simple. Mind only defends and protects the false ego. Whatever conception we already have, mind is constantly protecting and defending that. So if we have to work on this deep-rooted conception. And Jiva Goswami, about whom we are discussing today, Jiva Goswami actually warns us that if we do not actually work hard on our sadhana and give up this enjoying tendency, then there are 5 degrading effects that can happen to a sadhaka. Actually, before this, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains why we don't have taste in sadhana bhakti. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says we don't have taste because of, one reason he says is because of tattva vibrama. We don't have knowledge about what is good for devotional service, what is good in devotional service, what is favorable, what is unfavorable, who is Krishna, who is living entity, what is our position. Our position is we are the enjoyed. Because we are not having this knowledge, we don't have taste. Tattva vibrama. But the other reason, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, is because of tattva vibrama is one. And the second is where we have hankering for temporary objects. Asat Krishna. That, you know, desire to enjoy heavenly pleasures like this gross lust. Or desiring to have comforts. I want my own comforts. I want my own, you know, computer, own things. Only then I can do bhakti. My comfort is of paramount importance. Or he also includes within this category a desire for mystic powers and liberation. So this is tattva vibrama, asat trishna. And third reason why we don't have taste is because of weakness of the heart. Hridaya daurbalyam. And this manifests as tendency to find faults in others. And worst, he says, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, the worst kind of weakness of the heart is desire for fame. Desire to be honored and respected. And finally, the fourth category is aparad. And this is a whole different subject altogether, aparad. We can have a whole seminar on aparad. And so basically, because of all this, when a sadhaka is not working hard on becoming a servant, then Jiva Goswami says, these 5 dangerous things happen. The first thing that happens is a devotee becomes crooked. So then he defines what is the meaning of crooked. Crooked means a person may be practicing devotional service but is not having the desire to give pleasure to Radha and Krishna. He is thinking the purpose of devotional service is everything else other than actually give pleasure to the Lord. So I may be practicing devotional service but for wanting some tangible, quantifiable object or position in the society of devotees. This is crookedness. We forget the goal that I have to give pleasure to the Lord. And then comes the second stage where we start losing faith in the process and in the devotees. Now this is also okay. But the worst thing is we start getting attached to those things which destroy our faith. That is the third stage that happens. What are those things that will destroy our faith? Newspapers, internet, television. So we start getting attached to these things. Not only our faith is reducing, we also get more and more attached to these things. And then the fourth degradation takes place. That is slackness or laziness in sadhana bhakti. So we just want to get the job done and, you know, we just pull through the mala, hearing, chanting, basic minimum quota, just finished it. Actually, all these 4 are not as degrading as the last one. Because somebody may be crooked, somebody may realize that I'm not giving pleasure to other than Krishna, somebody may be getting attached to things that destroys faith, somebody's faith may be reducing, he may be lazy. But if he's humble and is not justifying and he wants to improve, there is hope. But this fifth stage is when a devotee becomes a victim of pride and he thinks he's actually advanced at the level he is in. And he justifies his position and he fights and defends his position. That is the worst stage. And then there is no way he can be saved. Therefore, this pride, this conception that I am the enjoyer, I am right, my opinions are best, I am great, this is the most deadly enemy for a sadhaka. And in this section, we can see it coming out and we can learn from this. That we should be willing to accept the fact that I may not always be right and I have to be humble and I may have to see things and situations from other Vaishnavas' point of view also. The classic example, positive example in this regard is Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj actually was killing all the Yakshas in the fourth canto we find. He went on a rampage. He was going on killing so many Yakshas. He lost his power of discrimination. And that time, Swayambhu Manu's grandfather comes and his great grandfather comes and convinces him. And then he accepts. And his natural, because he's humble, he accepts this good instruction, he understands. And then the whole situation is reversed. And then when Kubera comes and thanks him and says, I'll give you anything you want, Dhruva says, no, I just want pure devotional service. So very interesting, Dhruva Maharaj was absorbed and he was just killing so many Yakshas needlessly. But on being corrected, he was willing to see situations from the advanced Vaishnava's point of view. And willing to abandon his own conception. Same thing with Mrigari. Mrigari was convinced that he is half killing the animals. That is correct. Because that is the way I have been trained. But Narad Muni tells him. And then he understands. He uses his free will to surrender. And he accepts the shelter of Narad Muni. Priyavrat Maharaj also. Same thing. Priyavrat Maharaj was convinced. I can't get married. I have to be a renunciant. And then so many four Mahajans are there. Narad Muni, Brahma, Swayambhu Manu, Lord Shiva is there. And finally, he accepts. And we can see Priyavrata Maharaj's humility. He is such a great king. And yes, he actually created a duplicate sun. Because the sun was not giving light. Sunlight was not coming. So he created duplicate. So powerful he was. And by the rims of the wheels of his chariot, he created seven oceans. And such a great advanced Vaishnava. But if you read his prayers in the Bhagavatam, he calls himself as a victim of lust. He condemns himself. He says, I am a dancing monkey in the hands of women and I am so lusty. So his humility, genuinely humble and willing to accept corrections and willing to understand the viewpoint of other Vaishnavas. So therefore, to conclude today's class, we have seen in this section that the tendency to be the enjoyer is the root cause of suffering and the demons are outwitted completely by the Lord who comes as Mohini Murthy. And when everybody, because they are trying to aspire to get Lakshmiji, they got frustrated because Lakshmiji is meant for the Lord's enjoyment. So today we discussed how a devotee should work on developing this desire to be the enjoyed and assist the Lord in his enjoyment. If we chant Hare Krishna in this consciousness, this is the ultimate technique for chanting. Many times we have different techniques for improving chanting. But the actual chanting means giving pleasure to Radha and Krishna. So if this is our consciousness while chanting, then everything falls in place. And if this consciousness is not there, all techniques will fail. Now, we may have so many techniques to control the mind, but the whole idea will be, I want to get the holy name in my grip. You know, I want the holy name. No, that's not what we are supposed to be. We are supposed to be serving the holy name. So when we have this consciousness of being the servant of servant, then Krishna consciousness, not only Krishna consciousness makes sense, Krishna consciousness actually becomes blissful. Because that is our position. When we serve the Lord, in that service, there is enjoyment. There is actually pleasure. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Since we are quite late, I'm sorry for going beyond time. We'll stop here. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Jiva Goswami Prabhupada ki jai.